on in and have a seat. It is 6 o'clock already. What a wonderful service this morning, amen. Good to see some visitors, some return visitors. Had a young man come to me and said, Pastor, I need to be baptized. When can we get together and talk? So, Lord willing, we'll be filling and stirring the baptism waters. I think three more to be baptized, and I think we have two more that need to make a profession of faith. I am not convinced yet, but the Lord's working on them. They've made comments going coming in and coming out, and so it's always encouraging. What do you say to a preacher when you like the message and you're unchurched and you have never been to church except for the half a dozen times you've been here? What do you say? Well, he walked out and said, well, that was a good one today, preacher. Yeah, oh, I like that thing today. Yeah, so it was encouraging. I know his heart and where his heart was and what he wanted to say wasn't quite sure because he doesn't know the church lingo. And so you continue to pray for him. I trust to see him saved soon as well. Him and his family just moved out of Phoenix area over toward us, closer to us. So we're looking forward to trying to get with him and his wife as they're finishing unpacking from their moves. Good to have services. I think we had five visitors this morning as well as four or five return visitors as well. So that's always so encouraging. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings on our time together tonight. Father, we love you so much and thank you for your goodness, the blessings of joy and of service and fellowship. I pray that you bless our time together tonight. May you be uplifted and glorified, Father. May we be edified and encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Leonard, we ask God's blessing on our offering tonight.
Father God, what a joy it is to be here tonight, Father. Thank you for your grace, your love shown toward us, Father. Yes. Thank you for Jesus, who without his great sacrifice, Father, we wouldn't have need. We wouldn't have necessary hope to be with you forevermore. Father, that sacrifice means so much to us, Father, because of your love. Thank you, Father, for what you do for us. And as a part of our worship now, Father, we ask that you accept our offerings, our tithes, our gifts for the furtherance of the gospel in this area, Father, throughout this church region, and Father, for our missionaries that serve your precious church throughout the world. Thank you, Father, for the privilege we have, and we give you thanks for it and pray that you be with us tonight and accept our gifts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Unworthy am I of the grace that he gave, unworthy to hold to his hand. Amazed that a king would reach down to a slave, this love I cannot understand. Unworthy, a beggar in bondage and alone, but he made me worthy, and now by his grace, his mercy has made me his own. My sorrow and sickness laid stripes on his back. My sins caused the blood that was shed. My faults and my failures have woven a crown of thorns that he wore on his head. worthy am I of the glory to come, unworthy with angels to sing. I thrill just to know that He loved me so much. A pauper, I walk with the King. Unworthy, unworthy, a beggar in bondage and alone. But He made me worthy, and now by His grace, His mercy has made me His own. He made me worthy, and now by His grace, His mercy has made me His own.
If you told me that Miss Carrie was coming to church tonight with a folder and asked me what color I thought it was, I would say purple. All right. All right, look around. Look around. Notice who you see. Who is also here with us that we don't see? Holy Spirit, yep. So what are we talking about tonight? Maybe the next week or two. I wasn't sure how much material to prepare tonight, so we could be right on time or I could be finished early. I just don't know, because I also wanted to promote a little bit of discussion as we go. But what, as we continue in our series, do you really know what you believe? And then tonight, about the Holy Spirit. So let's open our Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 15. And I did not have enough room to put that text in the handouts with all the other things that are in there. John chapter number 15. We'll read just two verses of scripture. John chapter 15, verse 26 and verse number 27. John chapter 15, beginning in verse number 26. The Bible says, when the Comforter is come. Does that not just give you comfort within itself right there? But especially if you know the Lord. You know you're saved. You know you're on the way to heaven. You know the work of the Holy Spirit. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight. I pray that you'd help me. Give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. Pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we enjoy, as we continue with our study through the Bible, Lord. And do you really know what you believe? And then tonight, about the Holy Spirit. Lord, may you show yourself strong and alive tonight as we study and look, Lord. I pray that you'd continue to work. Father, there's no doubt in my mind the Holy Spirit was working today in our service as well as last week. And we ask that you continue to work and move in our midst, that we might not only see souls saved, but also Christians take that step of obedience and following the Lord in believers' baptism. That we'd also see others come to know the Lord as we have seen visitors and others come and join us for service, Father. We just ask you to work and encourage and strengthen your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Author and storyteller and Baptist preacher Jamie Buckingham once visited a dam in the Columbia River. He had always thought that the water spilling over the top provided the power, not realizing that it was just froth. Deep within the river, turbines and generators transformed the power of tons and tons of water for electricity quietly, without notice, nothing like the flashy froth on top. Friends, it's the same with the third party of the Godhead. And here's our first point, because the person of the Holy Spirit seeks only to magnify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, how we should strive to be more like the Holy Spirit in that category, and striving to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we begin tonight's study, keep in mind that just because the Holy Spirit doesn't make much of himself doesn't mean that he is any less God and any less the Father or the Son. Number one tonight, just one point and several subpoints: the personality of the Holy Spirit. The personality of the Holy Spirit. Let's take a moment. I haven't done this as of yet, but we'll do it tonight if we have some folks that would like to have a question, want to say something. But here's our question. Why do you think the personhood of the Holy Spirit is frequently overlooked or minimized? Why do you think the personhood of the Holy Spirit is frequently overlooked or minimized? Unseen. Like the example I gave tonight, looking around, and who else, Brother Sam? The book on the shelf. That flashlight that's nice and bright, but yet we still want to use a little light on our little iPhone. Little things, sometimes we forget the power of the Holy Spirit. Brother Tony? Yes. Humility is an aspect there of the Holy Spirit. You know, often, unseen, unheard. As a child growing up, sometimes I think my dad or my uncle would say, it's okay to be seen, we just don't want you to be heard today. You know, we forget, Brother Mel. And anyone in our life, here's the sad part about it, if you think about it, if we're going to strive to be like Christ, we're going to strive to be like portions of the Godhead, when we meet people and around people and family, should they not know more about God and the Holy Spirit than they do of us if we're going to take a step back? Ever think of it that way, Jonathan? Right. And we'll come to that a little bit later. But yes, there's an aspect of fear. You want to make sure, and us Baptists, we got to be careful. We're afraid we might turn charismatic if we get excited. Michelle? So we allow that fear. And dear friends, if it is real and is genuine, Brother Hunt, you're not going to turn charismatic on us, are you?
Not at the moment.
He got happy this morning while I was preaching. One of you two, or not both of you, is him. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with getting excited and saying amen. It was encouraging the preacher this morning. I got excited because I was hearing some clapping and some shouting and some amen and even some real loud noddings. I heard that pee go back and forth. You know, we should not allow the thought of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit to intimidate us or cause us to fear. Yeah, we want to honor each part of the Godhead and respect, as Jonathan said, but at the same time, we shouldn't allow that to cause us to have fear and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. So let's see, the Holy Spirit is a real person and not just some ambiguous force. And the Bible makes it clear because, in the letter A, he has human attributes. The Holy Spirit has human attributes. First of all, number one, he can be grieved. I think we're probably all guilty of grieving the Holy Spirit at one time or another in our Christian walk. But it should not be something that we strive for. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. What are some things that Christian might do or say that would, or not do, or not say that would grieve the Holy Spirit? Are we grieving the Holy Spirit when you maybe know you should have said amen and you didn't? Or maybe you should have talked to someone, invited them to church, and you kind of put it off or didn't feel like it. I'm kind of in a hurry. I mean, there's numerous things that we can do or not do that may grieve the Holy Spirit. And I think it could be very healthy, but also very self-punishing at the end of the day if we ask ourselves, was there anything that I did today, took part of today, or did not do that may have grieved the Holy Spirit? And then how can I improve on that? How can I turn that around that it doesn't happen again? Not only do we see him as having human attributes, we can grieve him, but number two, he can be tempted. And here in this passage, it refers to try the patience or the goodness of the Holy Spirit. Then Peter said unto her, talking about Ananias and Sapphira, for their lying, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. So we are not to try the patience or the goodness of the Holy Spirit. I read this passage of Scripture, and if you haven't read it in a while and don't remember, or don't know for sure what all I'm talking about with Ananias and Sapphira lying about the sale of their land and giving money to the church but acting as if it was everything. Aren't you glad that this same act of the Holy Spirit doesn't happen in our churches today? Boy, we'd be carrying out bodies every week, wouldn't we? Well, I don't know about every week, but every once in a while anyway. I guess you only have to do it once to take care of the problem. Amen. Yes, and then number three, he can be resisted. I think we're all guilty of that as well sometime if we're not careful in our life. Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. We're not the only ones. Those that went before us will. Those will come after us. But we need to ask ourselves again that question. Not only did I grieve, but maybe today there's something that I resisted the Holy Spirit on. I know that we all have. I know that I have. And we need to be careful and understanding and knowing that still small voice, knowing that urging of the Holy Spirit to do something, to say something, or to step back and to not participate in that. And I think it's good for us to realize that and be aware. Number four, as Jonathan mentioned earlier, he can be blasphemed. You know, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 3 and verse 29, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in the danger of eternal damnation. Now, this blasphemy refers to a hardened, continuous rejection of Jesus Christ and his saving work. That's the only thing that's going to keep you from going to heaven is just refusing the works, rejecting Jesus Christ. And we need to be careful, realize that there are people out there like that. We can pray for them. We can set a godly example. We can do all that we can because he can be blasphemed. Number five, he can be lied to. He can be lied to. Ananias and Sapphira, just read the portion of a story and told you the count, Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Of course, our first thoughts will be, well, they didn't lie to the Holy Spirit. They lied to the church. They lied to the disciples. Well, think about where they were, what they were saying, and the act they were performing. It is untruthful. It is being dishonest, not only to those around you, but also to the Holy Spirit. The personality of the Holy Spirit. He has human attributes, and letter B, he has divine attributes. He has divine attributes. Here's a little bit of a recount and a kind of an overflow or repeat when we talked about God earlier several weeks ago, but he is omnipotent. In other words, he is all-powerful. He is all-powerful. Micah chapter 2, 7 tells us, O thou that art named, the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? And this word straitened refers to limited or curtailed. So is the Spirit of the Lord limited? Is he curtailed? Is he without power? Are these things... Let me read that again. It should be a form of a question. O thou art named of the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? He is all powerful. And then number two, he is omniscient or all knowing or all seeing. All knowing or all seeing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Boy, I'm so glad that I serve a God in the form of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all-knowing and it is all-seeing. Many times, this is not the best example, but I remember when our kids were growing up, Michelle would always pray, Lord, when my kids do wrong, please let them get caught, no matter how much it embarrasses me. And believe me, it embarrassed both of us many times through the years of raising our kids. But our kids also thought that mom knew and saw everything. They were convinced that mom had little horns on the back of her head under her hair that were smoothed over by her hair, and those horns had eyeballs. So even though they were sitting behind her, she could see and hear everything they were doing. We need to remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit is with us wherever we go. In our sleep, in our waking hours, at work, at play, no matter what we're doing, where we're at, he is there. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is all-seeing. And number three, he is omnipresent. In other words, he is ever-present. Ever-present. Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Dear friends, I don't know about you. I'm glad he's there wherever I go. He's not only there as I go, he is there to meet me when I get there. He is everywhere. And I'm so grateful for a God, so grateful for a Holy Spirit that is there to hear my cry. I may feel alone. I may feel rejected and left out. All I have to do is say, Lord, and boom, he's there. And I'm right before his throne room. Number four, he is eternal. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Boy, it's wonderful to know that we serve an eternal God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knows my thoughts before I know them. He knows my intents before I know them or even speak them. We serve a powerful God. We serve an all-knowing God, a spirit that is with us in all things and at all times, no matter what is going on. The personality of the Holy Spirit, he has human attributes, he has divine attributes, and then letter C, he has unique attributes. Unique. I don't know why I thought about this. It has nothing to do with the outline. I've got a good friend of mine. I just think it's cute. Good friend of mine's got a little girl, and I'm trying to remember her name. Michelle, you might remember in a moment. She just couldn't say unique. She couldn't. She always say, you stink. You know, she's always trying to say unique. She would say, you stink. And always, and she meant it in all sincerity, but she just couldn't form the words to get it right. Isn't it wonderful to know that we serve a God that is so unique, like no other gods? He rose from the grave. He's not in a tomb somewhere in Hawaii like Buddha or others that may practice in other religions. He is alive and well. As the song says, Jesus is alive and well, and I'm so glad that he is. He has unique attributes. Number one, he is like a dove. He is like a dove. That's one thing about living in my neighborhood. I know we got a whole bunch of pigeons, but every once in a while, a couple of doves will come through. And I enjoy hearing them once in a while. And every time I see a dove, I think of the Holy Spirit. And it helps me in that era to get my mind more maybe where it should be. John chapter 1 and verse 32. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Boy, what a wonderful thing to know that our Savior, our God, our Holy Spirit could take wings and be wherever we are, whatever we need at any time. Number two, he is like water. John chapter 7 and verse 38 and verse number 39. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that was Jesus had not been glorified. Boy, I'm so grateful that the Spirit of God flows like the water. I don't know about you. Boy, I want the Spirit of God to have free reign and flow in the midst of our service every time that we meet. I want it to be choppy. I want to disrupt some things when it's needed. I want it to be smooth at other times when it needs to comfort the afflicted. But our Lord can do all at the same time. He can be choppy and wavy in one area and disruptive and work of the Holy Spirit. In another area, he can be calm and smooth and comfort all in the same auditorium at the same time. Boy, isn't that awesome and amazing God that we serve, the Holy Spirit. He is like a dove. He is like water. And number three, it's not necessarily my favorite, but it ranks up there. He is like oil. He is like oil. 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went into Ramah. Well, you pray for someone. I know it's been a habit of me growing up in church that I've been in through years. We get out that oil and we anoint someone with oil. We pray for the Lord. We ask the Holy Spirit to do a work. I remember a preacher giving an illustration that he was praying and a family had come forward for prayer. And he always kept a little thing of oil near the pulpit around where he could use it to pray and anoint them with oil and to pray for them and ask God's healing upon them. And for some reason, it just wasn't there. And somehow, for some reason, somebody sitting near the front row says, Preacher, I don't know how this got in my bag, but I've got a little can of oil. Guess what it was? You ever heard of the old 3-in-1? That preacher about come unglued when he saw 3-in-1 oil. As they had that service that morning and prayed for that family. And I remember another story where he was praying and ladies had come forward and the pastor was praying and was getting ready to anoint several. In his mind, it went off a little bit. He got distracted because there was another lady that morning who had asked him to pray for her and anoint him and his family because they were not able to have children. They wanted to have children. And it was Mother's Day. And some of the ladies had come forth in the church, or the pastor was going to pray for the ladies of the church. And he forgot it was the ladies of the church, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and mom. And he began praying that they would all be with child. That's kind of a blooper. That was quite hilarious. But by the way, Brother Joel and his wife, they did come forward after that, and they did pray. And to best of my knowledge, the last time I heard or heard from Brother Joel, the account was 4, and she was pregnant on children. They came and asked the Lord to pray and to anoint her with oil that the Lord would bear, that she would be able to bear and have children. He is like a dove. He is like water. He is like oil. And number 4, he is like the wind. He is like the wind. John chapter 3 at verse number 8. The Bible says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Well, I am so glad that no matter where we're at and what's going on, the Holy Spirit is there and among us. Number 5, the Bible also says in Acts chapter 2 that he is like fire. He is like fire. Acts chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4. "And there appeared unto them a cloven tongues like as fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Next week, we'll go a little bit further. Before I mention that, you know, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 1, evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is simply boldness and witnessing. And after that, the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and they... And the Bible begins to explain and to tell us. We should strive and ask the Spirit of God to fill us afresh and anew with power, that we might be the witness that he'd have us to be, the husbands, the men that the Lord would have us to be, ladies, the wives, the women that God would have us to be, that he might have free reign in our lives and ministry. Next week, this is a little bit shorter tonight. I wasn't sure how much to prepare. We'll have a few more questions or some discussion in just a moment. But next week, we'll look at the purpose of the Holy Spirit and the produce of the Holy Spirit. I'm looking forward to that. Anyone else with a comment or something you'd like to say in reference to the Holy Spirit and the question, even with the question, why do you think the personhood of the Holy Spirit is frequently overlooked? Brother Sam? Yes, we grieve, we tempt, we resist or quench. I think that falls in that category. Maybe a better word of quench would go along with that, resisted. Why? You ever been in a room talking with people and just enjoying the laughter and the fellowship, and then some wise Weisenheimer makes a comment and everything just goes dead? That's basically, if we're not careful, what happens when we quench the Holy Spirit when he is at work and has a desire to be at work. Was there another? Yes, Miss Marlene. It's very easy, if we're not careful, to take for granted those closest to us, and that being the Holy Spirit, whether it's quenching, or just somewhat, well, I don't need you right now, Holy Spirit. I'll just leave you there. If we're not careful, we fall into that routine, Margo. Yeah, but isn't it wonderful that they all answer? Yes, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Yes, Brother Leonard. And we take for granted so often things that are so readily available to us. And no, and here's the thing about it, when we do that, we miss out on tremendous blessings. Not only that, we miss out on tremendous power, the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us and works through us, if we will yield ourselves. I tell you, folks, I'm excited. I believe with all of my heart that the Lord desires to do a great work, and the Spirit of God to do a great work in our community. And not just our church, other churches of like faith. Don't misunderstand me. I get excited when today, what a blessing to be here today, as Lighthouse Baptist Church came over from Avondale to use our baptistry, and a young girl who had trusted Christ as her Savior had been bothering mom and dad, please, I want to get baptized. The preacher tells me in Children's Church, that's obedience, I want to be baptized. And today she followed the Lord in believer's baptism. I was blessed and encouraged because someone who trusted Christ had a desire, and the same Spirit of God that works here is also working down at Lighthouse, is also working out some other churches of like faith and doing a work. And we need to make sure that we're not taking for granted of the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do. And that starts with each one of us individually. Lord, do for me and in me what only you can do. Help me to be what you'd have me to be, that I might help others and encourage others to be the example as the Spirit of God works in me and through me. Brother Mel, other day, and I'll close with this example, I had a water softener and a reverse osmosis system put in the house, and boy, I'm liking that water, brother. You're right. I'm liking it. And he was there underneath the cabinet with that little light that I mentioned earlier, using his little camera, and I thought, you know, I'll just go out and get the bigger flashlight, help him out. And I went out and got it and handed it to him. And he said, no, that's okay. This is enough light. Folks, I don't know about you. I don't want all of the Holy Spirit. I don't want just a little bit of light here and a little bit there. I want all that he entails, that he wants to provide in me and through me. I want to shine the brightest that I possibly can. And that means sometimes saying, Lord, okay, remove some things that need to be removed. I had to move some things around in the garage to make room. In fact, I got rid of a shelf and got rid of a bunch of junk that was on that shelf to make room. Michelle moved some things underneath the sink to make room for that filter and put it in her pantry. Whether she threw stuff away, I don't know. I had no part in that, only the part of the garage as well as her. But in other words, we were making room for something that needed to be in there. And there may be some things in our life that sometimes the Holy Spirit may say, psst, you need to dust out. You need to broom that. You need to clean it up. You need to get it out because there's a section there that you haven't yielded totally to me. Remember, we get all of him or none of him. Don't misunderstand. The Spirit of God dwells in me, but I'm referring to the fullness of the Holy Spirit having free reign to work in and through my life. Are we limiting? Are we quenching? Are we resisting? Are we allowing him to take full reign in our lives, day by day, minute by minute? Again, I'll close with that flashlight again. I want all of him. I want the full-blown 1,000-watt LED, whatever it is, working in and through that my light may shine and in Christ and others to see the good works in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. And Dean, thank you so much for the privilege of service. Thank you for the Godhead. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that works in and through us, Father. Help us to be prepared in all times to not only, as Miss Margot mentioned, to call out into the Holy Spirit, pray and ask for your fresh anointing and feeling to work, to give free rein, to ask you to work in and through our lives, to show us what needs to be removed that your light may shine. Help us, Lord, to recognize the personality of the Holy Spirit and how you desire to work in us and through us that we may have the fullness of power. Father, now bless us as we dismiss. Thank you for my church family. Bless our time of fellowship. Bless our week this week. And may we see the evidence and the fruit and the product of the Holy Spirit working in and through our life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, it's 6:54. As always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.